It's another side that, like, wants to take more. It wants to go that one more round. Because, like, going that one more round when you don't think you can, that's what makes all the difference in your life. You know what I mean?
Good day and welcome to One More Round, the Rocky Series podcast. I'm your host, Ryan, and with me today is Katie and Kyle. Katie, how are you doing today?
Great. I'm excited for the last episode, guys.
Very exciting. Kyle?
I am fantastic, sir.
Yes, this is exciting. This is it. This is the final round, the 14th and 15th bell. This is, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. So, like we said before in the previous episode, we're going to get through this for better, for worse. The good news is we don't really have a lot of Stallone news to talk about, like zero. Other than the fact that, oh yeah, I guess this is a little bit of news that Stallone's Tulsa King is premiering this month of November of 2022. So again, join my Patreon for those who want to see me, Ryan, flying solo. I'm just going to watch the videos on Paramount Plus and I'm going to do a video reaction slash review. So I'm just going to watch it and then it's kind of like a watch along. You can watch it first and watch me, maybe pick out scenes that you want to see my reaction or comments on, or do the whole thing with me. And I won't talk much over it or anything like that, but I might pause it here and there, talk about a scene or something that's funny or something that's brutal and violent, and we'll talk about it and that's it. So for as low as $1 a month, you get to watch me watch Tulsa King and talk about it. And that'll be my review. So that's kind of, I might make the first episode quote unquote free, you know, so you can see what it's like, what I'm talking about. And then for the remaining episodes, it'll be behind the paywall. So as for as
long as drug dealer approach, Ryan.
Well, yeah, it is. But I mean, I figured people like this podcast. They might like me as well. I don't know. And they might like my comments. So it's just a way of, I'm going to watch it anyways. And I don't have a lot of time to open up a whole new podcast. So I'm like, I'm going to watch it and then I'll review it. And I'm sure we'll talk about it too on our show after those of us who've watched it will give our thoughts as well. But I'll give like more kind of detailed thoughts and what have you. So $1 a month at the very least, as much as you want to give, join the Patreon. And you get early release of episodes too. I've been pretty good about that as well, of the Rocky and the Rambo podcast. So it feeds both podcasts, by the way. And it also helps pay for the last of the Action Heroes podcast feed in general. So thank you so much to everyone that is on the Patreon. I do appreciate your support. It is noted and it is appreciated. Katie, you've got an email.
I do. I just want to say that I could not be more excited about Tulsa King, though. So I'm really excited to hear your thoughts. So yay, everybody, support the show. Join Patreon to hear Ryan's thoughts.
Thank you.
We do have an email. Subject is some observations about the cinematography and editing. Hi, team. Thanks for another great batch of episodes. Now you're coming to the end of the first film. I have some observations about the visual style and dramatic beats, which I think are quite unique to the first film. Something I really like is that contrast between these massive blow-up arguments, often filmed close-up and intense, then the resolution after is super subtle wide shot where almost nothing is said. Even the Spider Rico fight is angry and brutal. Then there's the stillness afterwards. The Mickey argument in Rocky's apartment is amazing and it's close up and intense. Then we don't hear the conversation in the street and barely see them in the frame in that beautiful wide shot. I think it prevents things from being too cheesy and still feels quite modern as it has subtlety. Other examples are Polly simply holding the bag in a mid-shot, and even the talking to the door scene with Adrian is all awkward and intense. Then she just walks out of a room in a hat and they move on. Very well directed. Also, from a cinematography point of view, I might do a count, not of bums, of Rocky framed in a shot on his own. I'm sure there's a load and it really captures his loneliness within the landscape or alone in the ring / his apartment. Just walking through the streets as a bit of melancholy lost soul. As I mentioned before, I totally ripped that idea off for the film I directed. Stallone directing the sequels and with a different cinematographer too. So I feel there's less of that vibe in the later films, and the framing and just those juxtapositions don't seem as present. Maybe in the John G work print of Five it returns, but there's less subtlety in that film, so doubtful. Editing thing to look out for in the final fight. So we should look out for this.
Yes.
Rocky's final punch to Apollo, which is a stomach blow, is a doubled up edit from a different angle. Maybe they wanted a bit more of an impactful editing just before the final bell, or just a stylistic choice, or maximize the footage. It's not uncommon for fight scenes to do a double impact edit. In parentheses, Jean-Claude Van Damme coined that phrase for Bloodsport and Lionheart editing, and then they used that title for his next film. I like that he gets the final punch in despite losing. And he points out that the same is true for Mason Dixon. Thanks for the content. Appreciate it, Simon Drake. Apologies for that last paragraph. Took me a minute to figure out what he was trying to convey there. So sorry.
Well, that's okay. And speaking of editing, I'll edit accordingly. So
you'll
sound.
You know, I got to dispute something there. I don't think the last punch is a body blow. We'll see here at the end. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's a doubled up edit from a different angle, which I'm not sure what that means exactly.
I'm pretty sure he hits him right on the chin and then the bell rings. I'm positive. I'd be very surprised. Maybe it's one of my misconceptions, but I guess I'll see you at the end of the fight.
Maybe. But Simon, that was the – I really liked his pointing out of the close-up shots in contrast to the wide shots. That does seem – I hadn't noticed that before because I'm not a cinematographer. But thank you, Simon, for pointing that out. Brilliant.
Yeah, I would have never thought of that. Like, when he says it, you're like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Like it's like, of course it's like that. But yeah, I wouldn't have come up with that. That's really good insight.
Yeah, we have a professional filmmaker who watches our garbage show. So I don't know. That either speaks to his quality of films or our quality of show. I'm not sure which one. But we thank you, Simon, for listening and watching our show. I think he watches our stuff on YouTube. I think he watches the final edit that I put on YouTube. So I encourage people, again, go to the YouTube channel. Just Google One More Round, the Rocky Series podcast. It comes up there. And you can see, again, the watch-alongs. Speaking of watch-alongs, you get to watch me, Kyle, and Katie watching the movie and talking. And I work hard on those edits. Gets a few views, but I think Simon's one of those that does watch that. And I understand, too, the convenience of audio. I get it, walking around. So I understand that as well. I think he's talking about the rib. At the very least, it's the rib punches. I don't know if it's the final punches, but I know, again, we'll watch in shortly. But there's, like, some sort of shot that is doubled up, and we'll look for it. I remember hearing something about that, where it's the same footage from a different angle or something to that effect.
I wonder if it's like at the end of the 14th round when he gets up and then lands those body shots or Apollo spitting up blood afterwards.
Well, it could be. Yeah, it could be. Well, this is exciting. We've got 20 minutes of film to get through, but I don't think it's going to take that long per se, because we talked about this before where obviously, it's a very visual experience. We're not going to say, and Rocky threw a left. And, you know, we all seen the fight a million times, but we're going to play it through, and I'll edit accordingly for the audio version. So we're going to talk about, of course, the emotion, what's going on, and our feelings on these final moments. And it's pretty exciting last 20 minutes of any film, I think, obviously, emotional and what have you. So here we go.
I wanted to thank Kyle for suggesting that we watch the Ali Wepner fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thanks.
And I did. I watched it last night, and it was so good. Yeah. I mean, I had never watched that before, but I got to say, that was a fantastic fight.
Did you watch the 5 minutes or like the hour?
I watched the whole thing. I watched the whole fight. And I got to tell you, I like wrote down a bunch of stuff. I'm like, oh, my God, there are so many similarities. I didn't know if we wanted to discuss any of that business now or afterwards or how you wanted to.
Well, we can do it maybe if you have points maybe during the fight, maybe like during the, like that reminds you of that or vice versa. But you can share your thoughts right now of what you thought of it.
First of all, I recommend everyone watch it. I almost don't know where to begin. First of all, my first observation was, okay, this is a thing about the 70s or 80s too. What is with people looking like significantly older than they are? I had to look up how old these guys are. Now, Ali was 33 at the time of the fight, which he looks 33. He looks his age. Wepner? I was like, how old is this guy? He looks like he's 55. Did you guys watch it? I mean, don't you think he looks way older than 36?
Yeah, it's, it is odd. I think it's that time, too, where people just look weathered and older.
I don't know. I can't pinpoint what it is, but I noticed that watching older things. At any rate, 36 is old to be fighting, but also just his style, his slowness, his awkwardness, Wepner's, and how he doesn't block his face at all. The announcers, who, by the way, I forget who the main guy was, but it's Red Fox and James Brown were the announcers. Did you guys notice that? James Brown, who, living in America, James Brown from Rocky IV, also sang the national anthem for the fight, this Wepner-Ali fight, and he was one of the, you know, I don't know if they had guest announcers, because I don't know what Red Fox and James Brown know about boxing, but I thought that was interesting. The announcers kept talking about how tough they were. Just, I mean, words can't describe how in awe they were of Wepner's toughness. They're like, I can't believe he's still standing, and how tough he was. He doesn't block. There was just so many things I noticed. Apparently Wepner is known for being a dirty fighter, and so is Rocky, even though we don't really ever see it. And I didn't see Wepner being dirty in this fight. In fact, I saw Ali being dirty.
Wepner was punching him in the back of the head repeatedly, which you're not allowed to do.
Ali was doing that. I didn't see Wepner do it.
Oh, he did it a ton at the beginning. And he says in an interview that he was doing that on purpose to upset Ali, like to piss him off, so Ali would get like emotional and would take risks. Yeah, and so Ali was hitting him in the back of the head back to show he was pissed off.
And he was like, ref, ref, ref.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
And then from an Ali perspective, what I noticed, I didn't notice until after I watched this fight, obviously. I don't know that much about Ali. Like, I didn't study his fights or anything. But I got to tell you, Carl Weathers, after seeing this fight, Carl Weathers is brilliant in mimicking Ali's movements, his dancing. He's like, he's got really good handwork, footwork. He's fast. He dances around the ring. And even his mannerisms. Didn't you guys notice? You were like, damn, that's Carl Weathers. I just noticed so many similarities. And then I noticed that there was like nobody in the crowd. There was the stadium or Coliseum was not full, but it was so 70s. The cast of characters in the crowd.
I almost watched the crowd more than the fight. I was just watching this history piece of people's reactions. God. And
that was brilliant. Also, there was a question about, was Stallone in the crowd? And I did read an article that said he watched it on closed caption TV. Okay. He was not
there. Not closed caption, closed circuit. Closed circuit.
Closed circuit. I'm sorry. What is closed circuit?
We talked about it during our Rocky III discussion. We'll get to it again, but that was mentioned in one of the marquees that the fight was closed circuit. I think it's just like early pay-per-view. It's not open to everyone, the public. It's a closed circuit. You have to have a special access or something. So Stallone was not in the crowd. I swear he said, I got a feeling he said he was in the crowd.
I'm sure it floated around because he likes to do that, but apparently he watched the fight, but he wasn't there. I'm curious to see what, if you guys noticed the similar things that I did, or if I'm sure I missed a ton because I do like to watch boxing, but I don't know that much about it.
You hit a lot of the same beats. I know Kyle probably has some things to say, like I said, during the fight itself. But yeah, there was some very, I would say at the very least, the spirit of, I get why Stallone, when he saw this fight, in his creative mind, saw a story to tell. If he was Chuck Wepner, or not Chuck Wepner, but if he was in the ring with Ali and he went that distance and basically gave the champion the biggest run for that, you know, champion's money. And he's like not a very good boxer per se, but he's just got this iron jaw and just keeps coming after him. There's a story to tell there. And I don't like when people say that it's a ripoff or it doesn't make sense, because it's just about a boxer who went the distance with Ali and went further than anyone has gone and gave this guy a run for his money. Somebody who shouldn't have, almost. That's about it. Chuck and the Rocky character and Chuck as a real life person are very different people. I mean, I don't even think Stallone would know what Chuck's personality was like. I don't know how much he would have known at that time. Like, what is this guy like behind the ring, like outside the ring? I don't know what was exposed at the time and, you know, the public. So there's very little, if any, personality. So the Rocky character is unique. The Rocky character and the relationship with Adrian and Paulie and all of this stuff is unique. But yes, Carl Weathers playing the Apollo character is obviously very much based on Ali. I don't think that was ever denied. And then again, Rocky going the distance, an unknown almost, a broken down pug bum going the distance with the champ. Yeah, but that's, I think I will stand by, that is where the similarities end.
Yeah, so a lot of good points. I agree that Carl Weathers does a great job of imitating Ali. Chuck Wempner, if you listen to any of his interviews, his personality isn't necessarily like Rocky's. Kind of his story's a little bit like that in the sense that both have gotten in trouble with the law.
Sure.
Chuck Wempner, he's done some jail time before. Rocky, I'm sure, has done some as well. Chuck Wempner went on to have like a fighting match with a wrestler that apparently the Hulk Hogan match with Rocky was based off of, too.
That's right, yeah.
Wempner actually eventually ended up suing Stallone for apparently using his likeness, which was settled out of court. One thing that was somewhat of a similarity in the fight was the knockdown. Now, in the Rocky one, the knockdown's in the first round. The Wempner fight, it's much later in the fight. Now, Wempner didn't actually go the distance in that fight. Almost did. He got a TKO less than a minute before the fight ended, which...
He had 19 seconds. 19 seconds.
Yeah, so he pretty much went the distance.
And he did get up. It was only a technical knockout. So,
yes,
yeah.
Yes. Other people have gone the distance with Ali before that. George Shivalo did, and... It's kind of a weird thing about the Rocky universe is everyone's always getting these knockouts. Ali has taken people to the 15th round before. That's not too unknown. Very few people have knocked Ali down. Joe Frazier's done it, and George Cooper, he's an English guy, he knocked Ali down, and then Chuck Wempner, I believe those are the only three. That's kind of his claim to fame. And Stallone talked about that in an interview. It's like, what if I can't win the fight? What if I can knock him down? If that would show that I'm something special. George Foreman couldn't knock Muhammad Ali down. Bernie Shavers couldn't. Like, these huge, huge punchers couldn't do it. Ali argued it was a slip. Okay. Maybe it was a bit of a lucky punch, but still. It's that kind of his claim to fame is the knockdown there.
Sure.
But I agree with you, Ryan, that it's definitely, no one argues that Rocky fight was inspired by this fight. But there's clear differences, too. They took the artistic license.
Right, yeah. I feel like when people say that, it's like they're trying to lessen the Rocky movie by saying that.
Sure.
And I think that's not a fair argument, because I'd be like, okay, show me where in Rocky's character and in the film it has anything to do with Chuck's life, like outside the ring.
Just inspired by the fight, because it was an amazing fight. And one thing I was really surprised by that's very different from Rocky, the announcers kept pointing out that Ali has been knocked down before, but Wepner has never been. And they were like, how is he still standing?
Yeah.
Like, that Wepner had never been knocked down before until this fight. I just thought listening to the announcers was awesome. There were a few things that kind of reminded me, like when Tony says, this man kept coming after you.
Yeah.
Things like that. I was like, I love it. But it was just an inspiration for a story, for sure. Also, the crowd, we like an underdog. And so the crowd just was going wild because they were not expecting such a great fight. And so I think people got on Wepner's side, which was similar. And it did make me feel for him. So I'm glad that he got some small settlement. Yeah.
He probably spent it all on booze, but
good for him.
Probably. Hey, who wouldn't? Almost every fight Rocky has is inspired by a real life fight. Rocky uses real life people, like he borrows from real life. That's his technique, is he takes something from real life and he adapts it for film. I think it's okay to do that. I think it's okay to get inspiration. The Rocky character, like Ryan said, that is unique. That's a unique character, and that's what really is the important part of the film anyways. The fighting, like we pointed out with Rocky, the actual boxing fight is just a medium to tell a story. It's not a boxing movie.
The parts that he borrows from, whether it's fighting a wrestler, knocking down the champ in the first round, or whatever it might be, those are actually the least interesting parts of the films. The actual boxing itself, and the older, of course, the older I've got, of course, when I'm a kid, yes, everyone likes the action-packed sequences when I'm a kid. But as I've gotten older, it's the human drama that's more interesting to me anyways, and not the actual inspired by this fight or that fight. Sure, whatever. I'm more interested in the events that got to the ring. Speaking of which, that's where we are now. So the last episode was Rocky talking to Adrian, alone in the ring, alone in the bed, and I don't want to be another bum from the neighborhood. I don't know if we get any more bum counts for the rest of this episode, but we'll find out.
I'll listen for it, but yeah, I think Ian King was won the bum contest.
What was the final count?
It's less than 20, though.
So I totally won. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think you won. I think you got closest. Mm-hmm.
Boy, Adrian looks great, doesn't she?
She totally does.
So, of course, this is the sequence of the fighters getting ready, Vaseline on the eyes so it doesn't break the skin. I think we all know that now, why they put the Vaseline there.
One thing I want to point out that they're missing here, when you get your gloves taped, you're supposed to have someone from the opposite corner watching.
That's right.
Just to make sure you're not
foreign objects
in the glove. Yeah, just to, you don't see that? You don't see anyone from Apollo's corner in that room, and you don't see anyone from Rocky's corner in the other room? Not a big deal, though.
We can also argue the shots are pretty tight. There could be somebody in the room.
You could argue that the camera is from the point of view of the other corner person.
Yeah.
Good point.
Some breathing exercises, clearing the nasal cavity, or cocaine, or something.
Yeah.
Okay, Sly looks great here, too. Looks young and chiseled. And I think one thing I do recall is they do in the Rocky films, and I suspect they might have done it for part one. Sorry, people hate it when you say Rocky part one, the first Rocky film. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that they did the fighting sequences first, and that's why like Sly is so ripped in all the fight sequences. They did the acting and the other stuff after the fight sequences. So I think they do the fighting filming first, almost get the hard stuff out of the way first, and then they do the storyline stuff after. I believe I read that somewhere. I know they did that for sure in the later films.
I think you're right, which doesn't make sense to me because if you get, like, injured or something during the fight, like, you see if your face is all swollen or whatever, then, like, would that not interfere with the rest of the filming? But obviously it didn't.
Of course, so Rocky's praying. Apollo looks serious here, which is interesting because we know he's about to come out as George Washington. So I love how they're doing all this prep work and everything, and he's looking all serious, but like, okay, now put on your outfit.
Yeah, because to him, he has, in his mind, there's no chance he's going to lose. Like, if he's nervous about anything, it's just like how he looks to people or something like that.
He's wondering what they're going to say about his George Washington outfit on Twitter the next day. That's what he's worried about.
Now, one other thing, sorry, and then I'll let it go. The Wepner-Ali fight. His corner people, because he was similarly, obviously we know that he was inspired, but similar to Apollo, he's not really taking it that we see that he doesn't, you know, he's dancing around and kind of messing around. And then when they see that the opponent is landing some punches and like means business, then the corner people, they're like, now listen, no, let's knock this bum out or whatever it is.
He doesn't think it's a damn show. He thinks it's a damn fight.
Yeah. But we saw that with Ali too. The announcers kept saying that his corner people were getting mad at him. Like, listen, take this seriously. Let's go. Come on. That was something similar. Now we see the pink sweaters. Was there a story with the pink sweaters, Ryan?
Yes, I think there is. If I remember correctly, they were supposed to be red, but they got washed out. I think they weren't supposed to be salmon pink. I don't think that was a brave choice by the crew. I think the color got washed out. Low budget.
And they're supposed to be white, but someone had a pink sock
or something like that. It was one of the other. Well, it looks pretty evenly spaced with the coloring, so I think it got washed out. It
looks like there's like embroidered or sewn on the word Rocky.
Yep.
In it's red.
In red.
On the sweater.
Oh, maybe that got washed
into perhaps the sweater was white.
Yeah.
And the word Rocky is clearly red. And I wonder if like they got washed. And so the red bled onto the, with the white turtlenecks, which is an interesting
Mickey's got
choice.
His toque on. He's got his toque on, you know, his little snow cap on. It's cold in the arena. And I love how he says here, time kid. That's a phrase that's used a few times throughout the series, of course. And Rocky uses it to Adonis, of course, in the Creed films. It's time kid.
Let's go. I'll wait for you here.
How about I wait here and you fight, huh? Now, you're looking very great today, you know that? Hmm? I gotta go now, but don't you leave town, huh? Wish me luck. I'm gonna need it.
Good luck.
Say, Adrian, you don't think this robe is too baggy, huh?
Good luck.
Don't leave town.
I love that. Just so awkward.
Don't leave town.
The whole sequence, I love it so much. Like, he's still just joking around with his woman. And I love that sequence so much, his little corny jokes. And
I love how he's concerned about his robe looking baggy. I love it.
Well, they had to do that. It really was too big. It looked funny, so they had to address it. Just like every other mistake in the movie, they were like, let's just address it.
Yeah, that's great. Again, the low budget. And then, of course, we'll talk about when we do season two, but they address that the robes are much better this year, wink, wink, at the audience, mm-hmm. because now we have a bigger budget and, you know, we're getting the proper props going here. So, yeah, they got the proper fit for part two. But for the first film, they're like, it's too big. We just have to wear it. This is all we have.
Literally just bought a hat like this. Adrian's hat. Bought one recently. I haven't worn it yet, but.
Well, I was going to ask you, where's your hat?
I know. Why is she not going to watch the fight?
Presumably she could have been given a seat.
Some people are actually don't like watching fighting. They just don't like it. They don't like the violence. Yeah. And I would suspect that Adrian probably isn't a fan of well, we know later the character isn't just not a fan of the sport. She probably just wishes Rocky was anything but a boxer. She doesn't want to see him get destroyed in the ring, quite frankly. It makes her nervous and uncomfortable. So she just can't bear to watch. If you're afraid of a thunder and lightning storm, you go in a room that doesn't have the thunder and lightning. You just hide from the storm. You just don't want to witness it's happening. It's out there. It's just safer there. She will hear the roar of the crowd later. We know she does come out eventually at the end, but she doesn't want to see Rocky get his face kicked in.
You see her at the other fights, but she cringes the whole time.
Well, we'll get again in season 3 with Rocky 3, where she's cheering and dancing in the crowd.
Oh, I mean the real fights, like the one where Rocky...
The ones that weren't handpicked. They weren't setups. Anyways.
Boxing's a lot funner when you're not getting hit in the face.
It always kind of bugged me that Adrian was dancing in the crowd. Make those millions, Rocky. Make those millions. Because I know these are hand-picked opponents. Yeah, I know. And poor Rocky.
Well, she better be used to it. She is, you know, in a serious relationship with a boxer. So, come on, Adrian. You better get with the program here.
Yeah, don't be a Giselle.
It's the women's career that always suffers.
Oh, yeah. Adrian's career at the pet shop. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to have you meet my colleague tonight, working the fight with me, Stu Nahan. Thank you, Bill Baldwin. The electricity is all over the place tonight as Rocky Balboa.
Hey, what the hell is that? I trained you to be a fighter and not a billboard.
I'm doing it for a friend.
Well, what do you get out of it?
Paulie gets $3,000. I get the rope.
Shrewd. The story about...
You know what? Everybody in these movies has really good one-liners, except for Rocky.
You're right about one-liners, right. Yeah, shrewd. Yeah. And again, Stallone's writing. He wrote all this dialogue. That's his humor and his clever dialogue. I love it.
Tonight's fight, their style, the difference in style. You can quote a recent sports magazine which said, could be the caveman against the cavalier. I noticed the buzzing in the...
What's a cavalier? I mean, I know the word.
Fighter, like cavalry, like on a horse. This is like in old medieval times.
Because I know to be cavalier, I've just never thought of it as a noun. It's the caveman versus the cavalier.
I think of a guy on a horse with a sword fighting a caveman.
And I get the comparison. It's just you don't hear that much.
Gentleman trained in arms and horsemanship.
I have a bit of a nerd streak in me. I have played Dungeons and Dragons before and things like that. So
you're kidding me, pal. I never would have guessed.
I have come across that term in that context.
Just never heard it as a noun, just more as a behavior. Okay, to be cavalier. Cool. I notice a buzzing in the background, says Stu Nahan.
Background now, Bill. Could be the challengers getting ready to get into the ring.
Okay! Look at my face! Toss me $200!
I gotta work.
Paulie's in there with I don't want to use a bad word. I don't want to use a bad word. But Paulie's there with a whore. A whore.
An escort, we could say.
Oh, sure.
A sex worker.
Like how he says it cost him $200. She cost him $200. And she's like, no, it's $250. You look like a slob. Maybe $200 over the phone, but once I saw what he looked like, I'm upping at the $250.
What's included in the $200? Is it just the date? Or the $250? Is it just the date, or is it like the after-date activities? $3,000 for that advertisement, so he has some money to burn.
True.
Do you think he slept with her?
He's at the hospital after the fight.
Oh, that's right.
He was nowhere to be seen. The $250 is just her being there with him at the fight, which is pretty pretty good cash back then, especially just to be getting to see a cool boxing fight.
Yeah, that's like $1,000 today's money.
Include the ticket.
Oh, ticket price? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just based on, not that I have actual knowledge about this, based on TV and stuff. If she's an escort, like you said, whatever happens, happens. You're not paying for the act, but if it happens, it happens.
That's the fine, perhaps invisible line between escorting and prostitution, is there's no guarantee.
If I paid for dinner and we have coitus, there's a transaction involved all the same.
Could argue that she liked you and did coitus of her own accord afterwards, which we all know isn't. Personally, I think it's a bullshit distinction, but I personally think there's nothing wrong with it.
No, if it's all consensual and you want to give money, who cares? I know. It's silly that it's silly that it's illegal. I think it makes it safer if it's legal, but that's a whole other discussion.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so so Paulie asking, "How's the robe?" And of course, Roxy is a little baggy. We gotta dress this again.
Overkill.
Yeah, okay. We get it. It's baggy. You know, the funny thing is, I don't think I ever would have noticed. I don't notice that stuff. I don't notice if it's a form fitting or not. I don't know if I ever would have noticed, but sure.
I've seen fighters in baggy robes. I didn't even think that looked that unusual, to be honest.
That's what I mean. I don't know if it would have been. Yeah, but they really want to address this, and granted. Sly is wearing that towel around his neck to fill it out a little bit. So they are making it fuller. You know, he's got that towel around his neck, which I don't think he's ever done again in another Rocky film, having this big baggy towel under the neck bulky towel to fill up the robe.
A 50-1 underdog living a Cinderella story, and he's captured people's imaginations all over the world.
So he told Gosnell, "Thanks for showing up." And we're about to get his record here, his record. He waved a little flag for a girl, and "We love you, Rocky." So he, of course, a hometown hero. And now Nahan's about to tell his record here, which I think will be interesting. So his record is 44 victories.
He's had 38 by knockout, and he's lost 20
times. Which makes me wonder, can he stand it? You know, the stamina and the skill to last the 3 rounds, because Las Vegas odds say no.
Rocky Balboa climbing into the ring now.
With the Vegas odds and his record, that's also a similarity. So they said is, which is insane. The odds were 50-1. Yeah. In the Wepner fight, they did say that it was the odds on that fight were 30-1. And Wepner's record was very similar in total fights and losses. There are a lot of similarities fight wise.
Yeah, Wepner he's from Bayonne, New Jersey. His nickname was the Bayonne Bleeder. He got cut all the time. He did fight some big names before Ali. Like, he fought Sonny Liston, like, after Liston lost to Ali, of course. Like, Liston would have been past his prime and stuff, but
I wouldn't want to fight him.
Ali did take fights, and Ali admitted this, that he later in his career took fights that he knew he'd win.
Just from the paycheck.
He's like, "I'm not going to be taking all tough fights this stage of my career." Like, he was very open about it.
Yeah. Something extremely different about the fight. Wepner was 6'5". They say like 225.
Yeah, he was bigger than Ali.
By a couple pounds. Stallone in real life is, I don't know, 170 pounds. And 5'7". Yeah.
Weathers probably is really 220 in there. Yeah. Like, they probably use his real weight, and he's 6'1 or 6'2. Like, even Weathers would be a heavyweight, would count for sure. In today's heavyweight division, he'd be small. Back in the 70s, he probably would have been about right. Like, Ali was 6'3", and between 215 and 225.
So now they're saying Rocky has entered the ring, the Italian Stallion. So, of course, they know the moniker, of course, the name that Rocky invented.
The Italian Stallion. Some meat sign on the back of his robe there. Have you seen what that was? Shamrock Meat.
There's a lot of noise coming.
Nice little subtle nod to the Shamrock Meat. It worked. The billboard worked.
It worked. They repeated it over the air to millions of people around the world.
Shrewd indeed. Shrewd indeed. So Rocky got to keep the robe. I wonder what he did with it eventually. You know, did he keep it for nostalgic reasons? This is my first fight with Apollo. You know, we never see it again in the films, but I wonder if he kept it after all.
Yeah, it probably got sold.
Rocky 5.
Rocky 5, you can hear in the background of one of the scenes that the gloves from that first fight were being sold.
Shamrock Meat robe was sold too, yeah.
Yeah.
He wears it at home with Adrian.
The background, you could go, Jeff, with that noise.
Yeah, the spotlight.
Am I seeing right back there? Is that the world heavyweight?
I've always loved that laugh. Did you hear that laugh? Who is that? Is that one of the commentators?
Yeah.
But I guess it must be. Yeah, but it's weird. It's an odd, what do you call, post-production audio insert? Mm-hmm. Because if it is one of the announcers, it doesn't sound like his same tenor or tone of voice. So listen to it again. It sounds like a young adult laugh.
Yeah, the spotlight.
Am I seeing right back there? Is that the world heavyweight champion?
It doesn't quite fit because they're talking.
It doesn't fit.
It's a post-production insert, and I don't think it's by Stu or Bill. I think it's a third individual just laughing that Apollo's dresses George Washington.
How many racists would be pissed off that there's a black guy there dressed up as George Washington?
Well, we can't have a black president. That's impossible. So,
yeah, never going to happen.
Isn't it this fight, too, that the announcers are like, I mean, there's just like so much, the 70s, just watching old things, you're just like, wow, I can't believe they said that. There's so many things like that or did that or said that. Isn't it this one? They're like, I've never seen so many Italians in one place in my life.
You said that, not me. That's part two, I think.
Yeah, that's part two. Okay. Yeah.
You said that, not me. I don't know why that's racist. It's a weird. It's even weird even back then they'd even be worried about that because that's obviously way before PC. But the idea, like, just saying there's Italians there, but so maybe that's an American thing that I'm not aware of as a Canadian. I don't know why it's, yeah. So, of course, they're saying he's riding a boat. Is he supposed to be George Washington? And look at these women dressed as the Statue of Liberty. They are, like, painted gold. I wonder how long that took to get all that. James Bond did it with Goldfinger. They're really all made-up gold on their face and everything.
One of the women there, I believe she's the one that shows the different rounds later on in the fight.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's in a boat, riding in a boat. Is he supposed to be George Washington? Obviously so. He's got the hat on the whole shot. Look at that.
So he's on this float. It's based on a famous painting of a battle around Philadelphia where on Christmas Day, the Continental Army secretly crossed the Delaware River and ambushed these British mercenaries. They were Prussians. That was like one of the first big wins of the Revolutionary War. And then they're showing the snow here. This is around that same time of year.
They're dropping snow, and I love it too with the float that Apollo's on. You actually see the painting of the men pushing the boat across the Delaware. It's a great little prop there of the painting of the men. It's actually a solid little prop for a low budget film.
Yeah, it is a really good prop.
Kyle, I would just like to point out that you probably know more about American history than most Americans. I didn't even realize, I gotta say, I didn't even realize this was snow until just now. I'm like, oh, I didn't know it was supposed to be snow because I didn't know that battle was around Christmas time. I didn't even know that.
That's okay. Americans not knowing things, that's weird.
It is weird, right?
Yeah.
My family goes back to America. So I do have a little bit of background.
Now I'm gonna get all the American listeners mad at me. I'm just joking. Our largest audience is from the U.S. I'm just joking, guys. We love you.
Oh, we know. I mean, if we can't take a joke about how we are seen around the world, then we have – listen, we've got bigger problems than that, right?
I was going to say, America's not be able to take a joke. That's another joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, my ancestors, some of them came off the Mayflower and fought in the war, so
– Really?
Yeah. My grandma's from New England originally.
Oh.
She met my grandpa during the war and then came up to Canada, so –
So you're pseudo-American.
Pseudo. Yeah, like my dad's like a dual citizen. Some of my cousins are, but...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And three of my kids are born in the U.S., so I have three U.S.-born children, so...
I hope one day to have dual citizenship.
Yeah, please come to Canada. We'd love to have you. So I think we're going to get the history lesson right here, actually. Remember when we were growing up, we were taught about George Washington, so I think we're going to get a little bit of that here.
The music that's on, which is repeated in Rocky III, that's the Marine Corps anthem. He dresses up as Uncle Sam, which is another military figure. So,
right, I want you
for the army. Invoking that military use and patriotism, yeah.
Of course, the idea, I want you, I want all of you, and then pointing at, of course, Rocky, I want you, you're my opponent, I want you. Kind of a double play.
It is. It's really smart. I kind of forget that this is a huge deal. The whole idea is that it's the bicentennial, the biggest day in American history, even though it's not because it's January 1st. But anyway, and Rocky just looks at him like, yeah, the year of. But
apparently, yeah. I was told, because I asked my mom about this, and she says all of 1976 was basically the bicentennial celebration.
The whole year. That does make sense.
It's like it went on and on and on.
Yeah, they're really playing up the whole American thing, which was especially a big deal at this time. But still, Rocky, I love when they pan over to Rocky and he's just dead stone face. Like, what the?
And what I like, too, is the subtlety of he was worried about his baggy robe. And he's got this pathetic little shamrock meat. Yeah. And, of course, Apollo comes in with this grandiose production.
Yeah, he's balling.
Apollo, I forget until he does. I'm like, God, he's such a star. Apollo at Carl Weathers as Apollo is there's not very many characters better. He's one of the best characters in cinema history.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I think very few people would say otherwise. Yeah, his charisma and the acting of Carl Weathers to produce that character is amazing. Look at Mike looking over the shoulder of Rocky there, how excited he is to see Apollo, the champ in the ring, so close.
So jazzed.
Yeah.
Why does Al have those Q-tips or whatever in his mouth?
He's showing how calm, cool. He's nonplussed by the fact the champion's right there. He's more of the professional. I've been here, done this kind of thing.
Okay.
And Rocky said, of course, he looks like a big flag. I admit, when I first heard that, I thought he said another word, but okay. Thank you for catching.
Did you like, really think
no,
he said
no,
that?
It's just a stupid joke.
Is he talking to me?
He's talking to you.
Is he talking to me?
Let him talk.
Let him talk. Taxi Driver come out, I can't remember what year.
Came out 76.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have been able to write that because they were filming at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's something that got missed in the subtitles. Mickey says, let him talk, but he says, let him talk while he can talk.
Oh. I did miss that.
Let me get that. Let
Good
me go
catch,
back.
Kyle.
Let me go back.
Is he talking to me?
He's talking to you.
Is he talking to me?
Let him talk while he can talk.
I have never heard that before.
Either great catch, Kyle.
Let him talk while he can talk. Wow, so Mickey's in business right now.
Yeah.
He still feels really that Rocky can cause some damage. And Rocky does cause some damage, absolutely. Absolutely.
He knows Apollo's going to get surprised.
Mickey might be the only person in the ring. Like, Mickey knows what Rocky can do.
I think Mickey and Tony, because I think Tony is weary of Rocky. Like, I think Tony understands. You can kind of see Rocky's talent, and you can see Tony's face here kind of at the edge of the screen. He's not really enjoying himself during all this. Like, he's kind of the grown-up on that side, like trying to keep everything calm, trying to, you know, kind of contain Apollo before the fight.
Their shirts almost look pink, too. Apollo's corner people, don't they?
Well, yeah, they have the reverse. They were wearing white on the outside with pink on the inside, and Rocky's crew is wearing pink on the outside, white on the inside.
It was all done in one laundry load.
That's
also,
right.
Who's this short, fat guy? Who's that? I've never noticed him before.
That's Apollo's cut man, who's probably, like, never actually prepared a cut his whole time with Apollo.
Because he's never been in any of the meetings or anything before. Don't know who that is.
Yeah, it might be his cut guy, too. And Donald, who's a big Stallone nerd and Rocky nerd, he never caught that either, Kyle. So you might be perking up a few of our listeners' ears with that little trivia. Let him talk while he can talk. That's a great catch. I'm sure, you know, the Rocky Files people, they knew that, of course. But, you know, we're just we're just a couple of ham and eggers over here.
Service, the Army and the Navy. I want you.
I want you, and that's what he's doing to take on.
There he is.
That's it, Creed. He's got a Creed in three.
What do you think that outfit costs?
That's a big Ali thing, predicting the rounds he would win, and he was really good at that. It was probably a self-fulfilling prophecy. Apollo's plan is to play with him for two rounds and then knock him out in the third.
It's a nice rhyme, too. Creed in three. Creed in three sounds good too. The mention of how would you do that outfit course, you know, Rocky's kind of like, I think he's self-conscious about his lack of production that he has with the champ. But I mean, let's be honest. Of course, Apollo has millions of resources.
I think that's Rocky's way too of like coping with the stress. Because remember, like in Rocky Balboa, they were at the arena and Dixon was there, and then Dixon was confronting him. And then Rocky was talking about later on, he's like, I wonder how much it costs to clean this place or something like that. Mind wanders to like some weird detail like that. I think that's probably kind of how Sly thinks in real life. And he writes that kind of stuff into the.
Yeah, he's concerned about money. Though he wasn't concerned about money when he wasted a lot with his wife there, and she got mad about that. But anyways.
He's curious that way. Like, I wonder how much it would cost to clean this whole place. I wonder how much it would cost to have that outfit.
Sure. Like,
it's a good point. And honestly, my brain kind of thinks like that too. Like if I were in Rocky's shoes. So it's appreciative for the every man, the every woman, the every person. And his whole demeanor is that way. You're right, throughout, but especially his little quips to Adrian about don't leave town now. It's all like his coping mechanism for, shit's going to get real, real quick here.
This is a great shot here too of the microphone coming down to Juergens. And I love how Juergens is somehow the ring announcer, which is odd to have the promoter.
He's the shittiest ring announcer.
I missed that in the trivia. I totally didn't even remember that he was the ring announcer.
I wish they hired the guy from the first fight in the movie with Spider-Man. All right.
Yeah.
Of course, the Rocky fanfare. I love how is that fanfare playing to the crowd as the mic drops, or is it just the audience in the movie?
It is a great shot, though, Ryan. Good point about that. That's awesome.
This guy is the exact opposite of Michael Buffer. It's the let's get ready to rumble guy.
All right, we got a big show tonight here, folks. Let's watch this fight now. Like, we're hearing Stu and Bill's vocals, like, or words coming through very clear to us as a movie audience. But now with Juergens talking to the crowd, we're almost hearing what it would sound like if we were in the crowd holding our own camera filming Juergens. Like, the audio is very poor here. I don't know if that was a purposeful choice by the sound department to say Juergens' voice is not coming through very clear the way it did with Stu and Bill, for example, because they're talking to the audience, these closed circuit audience, yes, but now we're hearing Juergens talking to the crowd, so maybe that was purposeful.
Yeah, I think they want you to feel like you're in the audience here.
So if that's the case, well done. And I just don't know if it was a low budget choice or just a legit, we want you to feel like you're hearing it like you're in the spectrum.
Good evening. A very happy New Year. Welcome to
Look at his face. Is he holding a funeral or?
Good evening. Such a cartoon character.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like indescribable.
Well, everybody who's anybody is here tonight.
Time does not permit me to introduce the many luminaries of politics, show business, and the sporting world who are with us tonight. But I would like to present one of the immortals.
He says, time does not permit. First, Stu said, the who's who is here. Everyone's here. Anyone that's anyone is here tonight. Great. So, but then Juergens goes, Tom does not allow me to announce every politician, businessman, entertainer that's in the crowd. But I have, you know, time for the one cameo that we were able to wrangle up here.
Yeah.
Which I think is funny. And of course, we've talked about this before. It's going to be Joe Frazier, which is a real boxer from Philly. But yeah. So where does he fit in the Rocky universe timeline, space-time continuum as champion? Did Apollo beat him for the belt?
You can't think about this.
You have to, because Tyson exists. We know that Tyson exists in the Rocky universe, and so does Joe Frazier. But Muhammad Ali doesn't, apparently. So it's a weird, woo, woo, woo.
Yeah, he shouldn't exist, but he does.
But he does exist.
It's like how George Foreman exists. George Foreman exists too because they reference him in Rocky Balboa.
That's right. They do reference him as well. So Foreman exists, and Foreman fought Ali, right? So
yeah, Foreman is Clubber Lang, though.
But Clubber Lang's Clubber Lang in the Rocky universe. They both exist.
I know. It's like, it's just don't. Just try not to think too hard. Just
exactly.
Let them do the figuring. That's their job.
That's right. When we do the figure, we make Sly look bad. Let Sly do the figuring. That's right.
Also, the shot of the crowd, because when this cartoon character says that anybody is here, and they show the crowd, and it was just like a stock footage of a crowd, right? It looks very different.
Oh yeah. It was an event. I can't remember which one. I think it might have been a real fight or something. But yeah, they use footage from some sort of real event. And it's like this really grainy, like, inserted. Yeah. Like, look, it's a crowd, everybody.
And all of a sudden, Gazzo.
Oh, that's funny. All right, here we go. The Immortals of Pugilism. Look at this guy. Look how he announces.
Pugilism, a champion.
Okay, so let me go back. Look how hot she is. Paulie's dated.
She is
hot.
Watch this. Look at her. She's a doll.
Polly looks pretty good there, too, I gotta say. Pretty handsome, actually.
The hat in the suit, like him dressing up.
The hat does help.
Actually shaving his face.
Yep.
Now, he has a cigar in his mouth that he's not smoking, but it's just maybe satisfying some sort of order.
He'll light it up for the match. But she's a beautiful woman, and I'd pay $250. I'd pay $300.
I'm so cheap, though. I wouldn't pay unless I got, like, after-fight attention.
$1,500 nowadays, right?
Yeah.
East.
That's kind of a lot. Would you pay $1,500, Ryan?
Sure. I mean, we'd work something out. I don't think she'd raise the price on me as much as she did on Polly. But yeah, she's an attractive woman there. Good for her.
In and out of the ring, Philadelphia's own Smoking Joe, the beloved Mr. Joe Frazier.
Look at that suit.
I'd like to point out that I believe there are watermelon patterns on his shirt.
I do dig his outfit. It's the epitome of 1970s, and I could not love it more. Love it.
It looks great. And let's just take a look at his shirt. I think you're right, Cal. I think his shirt has watermelon pattern on it.
In his career as a fighter, now he's coming over to talk.
Hey, how about that?
Hey, Joe.
Now, you've been dumping me long now.
No, Joe.
So Joe says to Apollo, the character, Joe in this universe says, Apollo, you've been ducking me a long time. Then Apollo says, no, Joe, you're next. Joe in this universe, Frazier, is a contender. He's chasing Apollo's title. That's where we are.
No, he's just kidding because he's retired. That's the way I took it. Is that he's retired and he's just like ribbing.
So they're joking around. So they're just ribbing each other. Okay. So there is no chasing. Okay.
In the real world, Joe Frazier and Ali had a really epic fight in 1971. That's when Ali came out of retirement. That wasn't his first fight out of retirement, but that's when he tried to get the champion back. And Joe Frazier defeated him. And then George Foreman defeated Joe Frazier a couple years later. And then Ali and Frazier had a match where neither of them were champ. And Ali beat Frazier in that one. Ali eventually beat Foreman. And then they had their third and final fight in the Thrilla in Manila. 1975, when Joe tried to get the championship back, and then Joe lost again. So,
wow,
I didn't realize that was Joe Frazier. Okay,
yeah, they had the fight trilogy. There's lots of those in boxing.
Yeah, that's right. You're next. You understand?
They must be friends.
So Rocky sees this interchange, and they're fooling around. They must be friends.
Tony seems to know him too.
That's right. They're all buddies. Now, is that watermelon there, Kyle?
That looks like watermelon.
I don't know what
Maybe
it is.
I'm just racist.
No.
I don't know what it is. I can't make it out.
If it's not, I'm going to be really embarrassed.
Anybody in the chat knows.
Yeah, maybe people. We got a pretty good look here. It looks like it, though.
Yeah. Apollo's lawyer is in there. Okay, in the background, against the ropes. See behind Tony's arm. That's Apollo's lawyer.
Apollo's not going to be embarrassed.
What the hell is he doing there? Why is he in the audience? Like, why? You're not his corner man. Like, I know that people have their entourages or whatever, but
he's going to make sure that Apollo doesn't get embarrassed in the ring either. He's gonna make sure Rocky doesn't take any cheap shots, or there's gonna be some suing.
Because it won't be long now.
And now, for the main event.
And here's that stock footage here of whatever crowd this was. Look at this guy here with his arm. Yeah! The reactions from the crowd right now aren't quite what's happening inside the ring, but it's just funny. So here we go. We got a shot of Lucky Seven. We got the bartender there. We got the little girl right in the front there. Hope he's won us at least.
She's right. We have the guy who was passed out.
Yeah, he's there too with the same snow cap on. Who else do we have here?
Oh, yeah, that is him.
And then the guy who was drunk that Rocky put him beside in the booth, those two are beside each other there.
I sort of thought there'd be more people now watching this. Also, it's like a 13-inch TV that they're all watching this on, but I would have figured that this place would be more packed to watch their hometown hero.
Is that Gloria way in the back there? Who's smoking a cigarette there? Way in the back.
Okay, yeah, there's three people kind of in the back, smoking. Like right in line with Tony. She kind of has like a bluish shirt on.
Yeah.
It's too hard to tell. I can't tell who that is.
Well, we got one, two, three, four females and 20 guys. All right, good luck, girls.
It's like Tinder.
Yeah, that's true. So here you go, Rocky Wayne, 190.
We were talking about the weight classes before, so 190 must have at this time been the minimum for a heavyweight.
Bare minimum, right? Yeah, probably.
Or they f***ed up one of the...
Maybe.
And they're all excited, of course. Hey, we know that's our hometown hero. Yeah, they're all excited, sure.
We know that guy.
We know that guy, sure, yeah.
Your heads, no button, shake hands now, come on, fight.
Well, put your hands up there, Chuck.
Okay, so you both fought in Philadelphia before, so is there different rules in Philly than maybe Las Vegas?
Every state has their own boxing commission, and they probably have slightly different rules.
Like, are you allowed to headbutt in California?
No.
That's just funny. No. Like, it's the common rules, like, you know, no headbutting.
There are certain rules that can be different. There's a three knockdown rule and stuff like that. Sometimes it's waived or, you know, like there's, no headbutting is pretty universal, no rabbit punches.
So Paul says here, put your hands up, chump. And then he grabs the underpart of Rocky's gloves, kind of snags them and shakes them, which is I always thought was kind of, calls him chump, number one. And then it's a little bit disrespectful what he does. He pulls on the gloves, if I remember correctly.
Now, this is very Ali. Like, Ali's really known for talking the entire fight. Wempner in his interview, and Ali was just wouldn't shut up, and a bunch of other people said that too. And Ali said the only person who ever talked back to him ever was Joe Frazier.
Come on, fight.
Come on. Rocky just taking the pepper. He's just going over and being calm, it looks like, from here. And there goes the big hat.
I've never seen a fighter that concerned about his hair.
So he flew the barber in. There's his barber. He flew him in, remember?
Yeah.
He's got to look good.
He's got his barber in the corner and his lawyer.
And there's the bell for round one. The most publicized fight of the week. As the fighters come into the center of the ring looking at each other. Rocky just looking.
You're right, because you had pointed out in the first scene, too, that all the fight scenes were filmed at the same time, whether that was first or last, because he looks his body tone looks significantly different than in other parts of the movie.
Which makes sense because you want to deal with that workout regime, all that stuff, and just be as ripped and lean as you can, do the filming. Because when you do the drama part of it, you can't just keep working out all day and everything. It'd be harder to maintain the physique.
However, in comparison to Apollo, I mean, Apollo is clay molded perfectly. I mean, yeah. His muscles are pretty impressive.
We're opening up eyes to Donald here. He never noticed the barber before. So, yeah, look at this. We're telling things to people they've never noticed before.
Creed, the champion, Symphony, flying those jabs out there. Left-handed jabs, right there. Bang. The champ is stinging the slower challenger, jabs at will. In fact, it just looks like Rocky blocking the blows with his face.
What's... We're 20 seconds into Rocky's career as a character, and we're already getting Bill Baldwin or Stu, I don't know which one's saying, Rocky is blocking the punches with his face. This has already become a thing. Like, we're already acknowledging this right away.
Yeah, it is kind of odd, not protecting himself. Rocky's tried a couple punches and has missed. I wonder what he's thinking right now. Like,
oh, it's real. It's real now.
This is not going good. You also could say, too, you know what, this isn't so bad. Like, this guy actually doesn't punch that hard.
As the captions show, the announcers are like, oh, the champion doesn't look that great.
But he's moving now.
Yeah.
He's not taking it seriously. Like, he's probably in his other fights, he was coming out hard. Like, kind of the Apollo we see in Rocky II.
Well, he said he wants to put on a show. Like, like Apollo in some way is dragging down. He's not going to come in hard like Tyson back in the 80s and 90s. People paid money to watch, you know, to watch me. He's almost like a celebrity in the ring. I want to put on a show for the people who paid tickets for this.
In his mind, if it's going to be Creed in 3, he's got to bury this guy for a couple rounds.
That's right.
The champion doesn't look the best he's ever been, but he's really moving closer now.
Well, that champion is smiling now. He's toying with his man. He's trying to give the fans the money's worth. He's willing to make a show of it. Challenger right now. He's just trying to make his man make the first move. See, make a miss like that. And he's just, the champ is just taunting him now. Creed dancing around.
My memory is just total shit, but I don't remember him getting knocked down so quickly.
It always surprises me. If you were to ask me, I think this was actually one of the trivia questions, was what round is... And I think I got it wrong. Yeah.
And it was the first punch. First landed punch knocks him down.
And I think it was a combination of, freak luck, but also Apollo, rightfully so, why would he? There's been no background check on Rocky. This guy can really swat. Why do you think I'm sitting here, he says in part 3. Apollo was a combination of felt the power that Rocky has, surprised him. He wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to take the punch. So Apollo was doing his little dancing, do his show, like, I'm going to kind of do this. And all of a sudden, whoops, it connected. And oof, a combination of surprise and...
You hear him saying, like, come on, Sonny, come on, Chop, come on, Chop. Like, he got in there and, like, basically invited him to hit him in the face. And then he got hit way harder than he thought. Underhand...
What it does to Apollo is he's pissed. He's embarrassed. He gets angry, which I like. We know again in part 2 when Rocky asks him in the hospital, did you give me your best? Did you give me everything you had? It was at this point onward that is true. Creed's not messing around anymore.
And I can't like watch Apollo now without thinking of Muhammad Ali style of fighting. It's hard now that I've seen that fight. That's what I see now is Apollo being Muhammad Ali. Additionally, that pissed Muhammad, like, it's very, like you said, he's pissed now, and because he's embarrassed, and the same was true when Muhammad got knocked down.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, crap, this guy was supposed to just be some bum from the neighborhood.
And, of course, audiences at home in the theater were probably like, oh, Rocky's going to win. So it's a great plot device, too, to make you think.
Creed is down. What a surprise this is.
Imagine what Rocky's thinking.
Well, you see him dancing. You ask those who might not have heard, you ask, what's Rocky thinking here? I think he's just a surprise, too, because he's kind of bouncing around like, I did something, because he kind of bounces around. He's a little bit got some nervous energy here with that.
You know what? In reality, right here made him just not another bum from the neighborhood. This is the first time the champion has ever been knocked down in 46 fights. You knocked him down your very first hit.
Rocky's done two things in this fight. Knocked down the champ and went the distance. I think maybe we forget that the champ's never, but we all often talk about the distance part, but there you go. And in the first round, no less. First 25 seconds.
I'm sure that imbues him with some confidence for the rest of the fight.
Yeah.
I have something here.
This is the first time the champion has ever been knocked down.
Boy, believe it, he's getting into the count. Six, seven, eight.
He appears to be all right. Okay.
So that stung. That stung. Paul's glassy-eyed. And now Mickey's already yelling out, go to the ribs. Go to work, Rock.
The reason they want Rocky to go to the ribs so bad is, one, he's good at it. Like, go to your strength. And two, when you wear down someone's body, they're unable to hit you in the same fashion. That's the only way Apollo's going to slow down or become less brutal is if you wear his body down.
And Apollo's good at blocking his face, too. It's hard to get in there. But yeah, all of those things, yeah.
Oh, it says Mickey says go to the ribs, go to work, Rock, but it's actually Mike's voice.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. It was mislabeled as Mickey.
They Mike, get it wrong sometimes.
They do.
These captions are not very good. Like they
They're not bad, but it is the Blu-ray captions. But yeah, whoever did them might not have known the difference between Mickey or Mike's voice. Yeah.
Come on!
Now Rocky coming back out, and he's like a bull in a china closet. He really wants it. Apollo left to the head.
All right, now the champion's coming back. He's coming off the floor now, and he's trying to put him with the hard
left, another right combination into the face. That's the Apollo we know.
Now he's taunting him. The champion's taunting Rocky to come out into war.
Left, another left.
Rocky's coming back now.
Left, right. Rocky's got him on the rail.
They're quite surprised that Rocky was able to back Apollo up into the ropes.
But Apollo doesn't seem now. He seems he's kind of hulking up a little bit. Like those punches are coming in, and now Apollo's rubbing his face. No more, you know. You're not going to hurt me again. He's getting that championship feelings coming back into him a little bit here, for sure.
Okay, so this is another Ali thing that Stallone probably got. If you watch that Frazier Ali fight, Frazier will land a really nasty body shot or shot to the chin. And then Ali will tie him up, and then he'll nod like this, like, no, 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 didn't hurt me, didn't hurt me. Like, he does that to everyone. And so, like, Apollo is kind of doing the same thing here.
Good point. I did learn from watching that fight, too. I always thought when they get hung up in the ropes that that's, like, the person on the ropes is in trouble. But I learned that Ali is known for doing that to give himself a rest.
Yeah. Oh, that's very unconventional. It's like something, it's called the rope-a-dope, which he invented. Yeah, everyone gets pissed off at him for doing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That I knew. The rope-a-dope.
I've heard that term before, but I never knew what it meant.
Because it rhymes.
Yeah. Posing as a boxer? I never caught that before.
No, I never caught that either.
He talks some shit.
Yeah,
I never caught that before. Donald, you ever caught that one before? You're posing as a boxer? Is that a new piece of dialogue for our listeners? So Apollo taunting Rocky, saying, not a bum. He didn't say bum. He just said, you're a poser. That's a Canadian term.
And then the announcers are saying there's no way we expected this kind of hitting. About Rocky's hitting power.
Expected this kind of hitting power. Oh, no way. But you know, it's the ability of the champion to pull himself out. Apollo unloading a left. He's really tagging him up against the rope.
Open nose. His nose is broke. First time. A lot of firsts in this first round.
That would be scored as a knockdown for Apollo there right at the end of the round.
You go down on your knees.
To knock down. Yeah. Apollo, I think, technically won that round, even though he got knocked down. He got the majority of the shots in. They both got a knockdown.
Mm-hmm. I love how they've cut to Adrian now. It's like Rocky got his nose broke right at the end. It's almost like this spiritual connection. Like, something's happened to my man. Something for the first time.
The crowd going nuts, just like, what's happening?
I totally understand I would not want to see my loved one get the shit kicked out of them, but my curiosity would get to me.
Gets her at the end because she watches the final moments, but yeah. She's probably like, why is this taking so long?
Yeah.
They're leading him back over to his corner. Rocky can hardly find his way. His hammer's come up. He's sitting down now.
That's not the last time that Rocky goes to the wrong corner. Do you remember that happened to him again?
Actually, no. I remember that happening to...
Who was that? Somebody was in the wrong
Creed.
Corner.
It was in Creed.
It happened to Adonis. That's what it was. Okay, yeah. He went to the wrong corner. So there you go. A little nod to the first film, going to the wrong corner. Yeah.
Apollo's cocky. He's like, I called it. I told you.
Yeah, he's trying to remind the crowd that he's champ, but he's embarrassed still.
Your nose is broken.
How's it look?
That's an improvement.
Yeah,
equipment.
So now Tony, even after the first round, is giving some, okay, quit shucking and jiving, stick and move. Now Tony's like, okay, okay, let's just, show's over, Apollo. This is a fight now. This guy is hurting you, even though you're pretending it doesn't hurt. I know you as a fighter. You're not hurt.
Yeah.
I want you to quit shucking and jiving. I want you to stick and move.
Go for the ribs. Don't let that bastard breathe.
The guy's great.
He doesn't know it's a damn show. He thinks it's a damn fight. Finish this bum and let's go home.
Another bum. Let me just...
Bum count. You guys, I could still win.
You right? Still...
We're up to 18 now.
Ooh, okay.
Stay to the body. The body. I'm doing great.
Now, here we go. Round two. Creed projected he would win it in three. Creed got knocked out of the first. He came back strong at the end of the first. Oh, and he's working well. Oh, that's smart. Again, a hard right. And now coming in, he's pushing back into the corner again. The champion's got it. Runs back in the corner. Throwing it left and right. His head bouncing up against the ring ropes. Oh, Balboa's taking a tremendous beating here.
Battering right like a punching bag.
What's keeping Chuck?
Oh, come on, man. Don't you fart. Stop playing around with a group of people. Something.
Apollo's, like, throwing and laying waste to him like a punching bag, as the announcer said, to Rocky, because Rocky's just not fighting back. And even Apollo says, stop clowning around. Aren't you going to fight me back? Like, he's almost kind of irritated that Rocky's taking the punches, but they're not giving any.
I think it's a bit of psychological warfare, too. Throwing someone, taking their confidence out.
Why is it bugging Apollo that he's not fighting back?
He's trying to goad him, and he's saying, come on, let's make a fight of this. He's like, I'm bored of punching you in the face. Like, it doesn't look good if I'm just punching you like a punching bag. Like, let's have a real fight here. He wants to take out Rocky's confidence. He knows Rocky's more confident after that knockdown he got in the first round. So I think he's playing mind games with him a bit, too.
He still wants to give the crowd a show, though.
Still worried about the crowd. Good for Apollo.
You folks in stadium television are on the world. You're watching a battle, I tell you that. Balboa trying to fight back. Oh, he tagged his champion.
Champion is trying to get himself out of there, but he just can't do it.
I love it. The camera was showing the fight through a puff of smoke. I totally forget that people were smoking in this Coliseum.
Yeah, people were smoking to the Chuck Wepner and Ali fight. People were smoking the crowd. It's hilarious. I loved it.
Just nuts. But yeah, the camera was like, I kind of forget about these things. I do kind of love the 70s a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
His smoke.
Yeah.
That's whose smoke it was.
Juergens at the side of the ring here, because this is his man, Paulo. You know, this is his moneymaker too, because he's a promoter, right? But I love his face here. He's even worried. Even Juergens is a little worried as the champ is being barraged with lefts and rights to the head and the body. So Juergens is seeing Rocky fight back now again in the second round. And Juergens is like, oof, I don't know if Creed's going to knock this guy down in three.
This is a hard round to score. Creed piles up the points early in the round. Rocky is laying down some serious shots here. Hard, hard head and body shots. They're unanswered.
With lefts and rights to the head to the body. The head to
Balboa is tagging the champion right on the kisser.
And the referee got in. They're ready to keep going. Look at that.
Hey, come on. Come on.
Back to your corner.
Put your trump up in his corner.
Come on, Creed.
Come on, Creed.
Hey,
this is going to be a tough one.
There we go. This is where it kicks
now
in.
What's this song? What's this song, Ryan?
It's War. Putting me on the spot now.
Isn't it War or something? Or
The Battle?
It's great. I don't know either. Oh, God, we're the worst. I love it. The music helps this so much, and it's like, oh, we're in it to win it now.
Yeah, I might have to mute it. The music. It's the music that gets the big hits on these. It's not a huge, huge deal, but I might have to mute the music. So I'm just kind of torn what to do here. It should be fine. It's not a huge deal. It won't get blocked. It'll just get claimed, which just means I'm going to have to edit this sooner than later because it takes time to clear. All right. So, well, I'll just mute it. I'll just actually just mute it because right now we're getting, of course, the round montage. I guess we could just speak to it more because it's just the music with the montage of the fighting. So we're already at round 7. Their faces are getting more pulverized, beaten up, bloodied, puffy, and the punches seem to be more or less back and forth even.
It seems like Apollo's been laying down most of the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
We're already at round 13. I forgot how fast it gets to round 13. Wow, okay.
Yeah, I forgot that too. But this This montage is excellent. Music makes it.
Right here. This is like Apollo. You see
the panic?
You see the fatigue and panic and worry in his face. His eyes are puffed up. It's harder to tell because of his skin tone. He's been damaged here.
Rocky's just bouncing off the canvas like crazy. He's up against the ropes, bouncing off the rope. He's lifting himself off the canvas.
Weird to watch this without the music.
Well, we'll do the music. Everyone just calm down without the music though, okay? If you want to go on YouTube, go watch it a million times on YouTube. You guys, we're going to get to it. So we're getting to the part now. Of course, it's round 14. That's actually the name of course, Tim, who's in our chat right now. That's the name of his podcast, the round 14 podcast, because round 14, as most Rocky fans, very few Rocky fans would not say that this moment in round 14 is the pivotal. It's the moment. Rightfully so, round 14 is the moment.
What's keeping him up, Bill? Yeah. I don't know. That's from the Wepner fight too. It's really hard to watch now. Having seen, I mean, it's great. I loved that fight, but now I am noticing a lot of similarities.
Keeping him up, Bill. I don't know. Can't even get his gloves up to protect him. He's defenseless now, Bill.
Down, stay down.
Big moment here. Mickey, he loves Rocky, or cares for his fighter deeply. And he's saying, look, dude, great. You're getting killed out there. Just stay down. Take the knockdown. Stay down. And Apollo has his arms in the air like he's won the fight. Mickey's telling his fighter to stay down. But what Mickey doesn't know, and only what the audience and Adrian knows at this moment, is that Rocky wants to go the distance. He wants to make it to round 15. And then he wants to still be standing when that bell rings. And I'm still standing. He'll know for the first time in his life, he's just not another bum from the neighborhood. That's what he's fighting for right now. To get up on this round.
Can I ask you guys what you think of, or if your feelings have changed over time, about Mickey telling him to stay down?
He just didn't know. He didn't know what Rocky wanted. He's protecting his fighter. He's acting like a real trainer. To him, it's not about going. Like, in Mickey's eyes, we already talked about it. He's knocked down the champ. He wasn't knocked out in 3 rounds like Creed predicted. He's already done more than anyone ever expected. But at this point, Mickey cares for his fighter. And we know that Mickey does care for Rocky's health and well-being. So it's natural for him to tell his fighter, look, live to fight another day, as they say, right? Don't put yourself out there right now. And Tony does the same for Apollo. Don't go toe-to-toe with this guy. Just take the points. Their job as managers and trainers is to protect their fighter. They don't care about little personal victories that the fighter might have in their mind. Donald brought up an interesting point. I've thought about this too, where he says that round 14 should have been the last round. Like, this should have been the last round of Rocky getting up. And that's an interesting point because let's pretend round 15 was round 14. So you got Rocky punching him in the ribs, and Apollo's hurt. And then they go to the 15th round, the final round. Rocky does get knocked down. He stands up and he doesn't get counted out, but the bell rings.
I think that this is necessary so that we see Apollo's face. It's one of the famous scenes in the movie that Apollo's like, oh my.
Well, you'd eliminate. Yeah, that would be eliminated. You wouldn't have that reaction. You're right.
Yeah, I think we need that. I find that really an effective part of the movie in my
opinion. Oh, yeah. I'm sure Donald does too. But I've thought the same thing, Donald, over the years, minus that face comment there. Kate, that's a good point. It is kind of an interesting choice to have it here, but still the best part of the film.
Apollo dancing around with his arms in the air.
Now Adrian comes out and she hears the pop from the crowd. She says, what's happening up there? Now she sees Rocky trying to. And she knows, this is important because she knows what Rocky wants to accomplish. She was the only person that knows. Now she's out there watching, hopefully, that this will happen. She can barely look at her fighter man climbing up those ropes.
In the Wepner fight is when they said, you're done.
I was thinking that too.
That's right.
Which is what it would really, because that's in real life. That's your job is a ref. Lou Filippo will let you fight until you die, literally.
Kyle, I was thinking of you as I was watching that. And this ref, Tony Perez, does call stuff unlike Lou Filippo.
Kyle's vitriol of Lou throughout the podcast series has been hilarious.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I love that right there. And she knows he did it. He made it.
Okay. No, I don't think that's what she's thinking at all.
I think she. I think
he still has one more round to go.
No, but yeah, that he got up. That she served. I think it's a combination of. Well, of course she's always worried. I think she puts her eyes down. This is how I interpret. I mean, it's art. We're all going to interpret different. I think inside she's like, okay. He did that. He did that. I think it was like an intake of okay.
Interesting. Yeah. I didn't take it that way because she looks away. I think she's like shocked, bewildered, saddened, concerned that he is in the shape that he's in. She's seeing him struggle so hard.
Well, she's seen that too, but I think above that, she's happy that he's doing what he wanted to accomplish. But okay. She's witnessing the surviving that round. But yeah, I mean, yeah, who knows?
Okay.
Apollo can't believe a great line.
He can't.
Now Rocky's ready to keep fighting.
Where he gets this energy from, who knows?
Yeah, he gets some rib shots in, breaks some ribs. Now that really hurt Apollo. He's crunched over.
And that's the end of round 14.
Yeah. This has been tremendous.
He did come back hard. I mean, he was like barely able to stand up, and then all of a sudden he had that energy to like
break a couple
ribs, the round strong. Yeah,
and he broke a couple ribs in the process. Yeah,
and caused some internal organ damage. Tony somehow knows that Apollo's internally bleeding.
Yep. Well, he just said, "I may have broke my ribs." Apollo does tell Tony right here.
Breaking ribs and internal bleeding are different, right?
Sure.
I can't see nothing. Got to open my eye.
Cut me, Mick. Cut me. In the recap of part 2, they don't show that blood come out when they do the edit. It's funny. They spare us the blood, yeah.
It's funny how close Rocky came to winning this, because like Tony, if he had his way, he would have stopped that fight.
Mm.
You ain't stopping nothing.
Donald brings up a good point regarding Mickey. Stay down, stay down. He says that Mickey could have thrown the towel, but he doesn't throw a towel.
That's true. There is an alternative reason he could have said stay down, which I don't necessarily believe, but when you get knocked down, sometimes it's best not to get up really fast.
Oh, you talked about a kind of a resting moment? Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets up slow, though. But you're right, yeah. Kyle, that it could have been interpreted that way as well.
As I've thought about it longer, I do agree that I think Mickey wanted him to stay down.
Right.
Mickey wants it to be Rocky's decision, though.
Yeah.
I don't think Mickey's going to take that from him. I think Tony's the same way. I think Tony really wants to stop the fight, but then he knows if he did that, how badly that would hurt Apollo.
Agreed. Cut me, Mick piece, it's hard to watch. I'm not queasy about things usually, but I've always found that really hard to watch because he just does it. I mean, it's like a box cutter, it looks like,
yeah,
that he's using. I don't really understand what that does.
So the blood was pushing his eye down. Now with the blood out, he can open his eye. The liquid pushing his eyelid down, now he can open it up. He can lift his eyelid up and see. They have a sealant that they are able to stop the bleeding, like a quick seal on their skin.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think also you could cut it in a way where maybe the blood goes down the side of your face there.
Okay.
I think it is a move of desperation to cut someone like that, though. Like,
you can't do that, can you?
Not anymore. Like,
not anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, Rocky probably would have, your eye getting close like that would have disqualified you from fighting.
Mm.
Like in Creed, and the doctor looked at his eye and they had to cheat.
That's right. Yep.
That's right. Tap, tap, tap on the back of the head.
Stop this fight, I'll kill you.
Mickey's giving up and giving advice. He goes, I ain't stopping enough. You want to go. So he kind of meanders away, and it's Mike that gives him the pet talk. You got to go get him. So I don't know. It kind of is a weird exit of Mickey's part. Like, all right, you want to get your head caved in. He kind of just saunters off. It's an odd.
He's like, if you want to get killed, kid, it's your head. But even when Rocky says, I don't think I noticed this before, when Rocky says, cut me, Mick, Mickey says, I don't want to.
He's like, come on, cut me.
I don't
want to. It's not a very good exit there of Mickey. That's the last we see of Mickey, more or less, as a character in this film, as far as, I think, speaking dialogue, maybe? I'm not sure. I can't remember. I don't think he says much in the end, but This is kind of an odd exit. Like, all right, you got your head kicked in. Yeah, all right.
Okay, there's something here that's always bugged me. I know it's not that important of a detail. Ah, you'll see here that the front of Rocky's trunks, the waistband, is inverted for some reason. He didn't start the fight that way. It's like all twisted up and messed up. Somehow that happened. I don't know how that happened, but it did. And then Mike tries to fix it, but fails. And he keeps fighting like that. I don't know why. That bugs the shit out of me.
There is always something about the waistband. They're always like messing with it or pulling on it in the corner.
You think they can just figure out how to make a shorts without boxing trunks, without these waistband issues? Yeah.
Even in that Ali fight, there was when they showed him in the corner one time and they were doing something with his weight. I'm like, what are they doing?
The fighters do, at least nowadays, and they might have in the Ali fight, they do have some padding there along the bottom of your way. You're not supposed to hit a fighter anyway, so you're like hitting low.
Oh.
Like along the hip, and that can get kind of misaligned and stuff, and they have to adjust your shorts that way to make sure everything's proper. But it looks like Rocky and Apollo are old school here and are just wearing shorts. But man, like, fix this fucking band. Like, and, come on.
There's Frank Stallone Sr. on the bell. That's Stallone's dad on the bell.
Good call.
Go back. There he is there. Frank Sr.
Okay, first of all, he's a handsome dude, so that tracks. Second of all, it's Frank Sr. Frank is younger than Sly, so why would it be Frank Jr.?
Yeah, Frank? I'm 99% sure it's Frank Sr. Well, no, it doesn't work like that. Like, yes, Frank's the younger brother, but it's just if you've named it after your dad, if you're named after the dad, you're the junior.
Yes, sorry. What I meant was, I always thought
the first and only
people
son.
People can choose whichever order of child to name after. It's usually just the firstborn child that's named after the father, right?
Yeah, my oldest son's named after me, but we call him by his middle name.
Really?
Yeah, it's just interesting, but he's gone by both throughout his life. Some people call him Ryan, so.
Really?
Yeah, buddy.
Fun fact.
Yeah, fun fact.
The 15th and final round.
They look like they've been in a war, these two.
Oh, another bomb. He said bomb, call him a bomb.
Okay.
Let me hear that again. Wow.
They look like they've been in a war, these two.
He says you're not a bum or you are a bum?
Oh, I'm pretty sure he said he is a bum.
Okay.
Yeah, come on, you bum.
Sounds pretty upset.
Yeah, he's pissed. I know this isn't super realistic, but Rocky's face is actively bleeding. Would they? That's not allowed, is it?
Nah, they're a mess. They've been in a war, these two, Katie. They've been in a war.
Now, Rocky's face has got to the point where they would have stopped this a while back.
Yeah. Mind you, Apollo's eyes are pretty swollen, too.
Yeah, Apollo's face looks terrible.
You'll notice on Apollo's left shoulder, there's a red spot where apparently he's taken some shot on his arm there.
The hard right, the champion really tagged him.
That's really the only punch Apollo's going to get in from now on.
Yeah.
Apollo will be a punching bag for the rest of this round.
Because Apollo's clearly protecting his right side, his ribs.
And Apollo clearly protecting his right side, his ribs.
It was a headshot. It was the last punch.
Good call, Kyle. It was close, though. Man, that was brutal. The crowd at this point probably thinks, oh, my God, he's going to win. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like,
theater goers. He's going to win. He's going to win.
It had the round lasted another, all things being equal, that was another minute of fighting. Let's just say another minute was allotted for the 15th round, let's say. Like, for the final round, they were given another minute. Rocky would have eventually, like a tree would have, I think he would have eventually fallen Apollo.
There was another round. Like, say that round ended, but then, okay, now it's round 16. Then, because in boxing, they used to just fight till someone was knocked out. Like, way back when. 100 years ago type of thing. Like, round, there'd be 50 rounds or something. Like, it'd be insane. Like, some fights would just go forever.
Until someone gets knocked out?
Yeah. Before the point system, probably, yeah.
Wow. It's funny that I like watching this kind of stuff. Right. The thought of having broken ribs and then they keep getting punched at, can you imagine?
No. The pain would be excruciating. They rightfully went to a hospital after this.
Yeah,
like Apollo's coughing up blood. And it's funny, Rocky 2, they really make his face look a lot worse than here.
They do.
Mm-hmm. And then Apollo, they make his face look a lot better than here. They make it seem like Rocky took such a worse beating than Apollo, which I think he did in general. But Apollo is like coughing up blood and has like organ damage and stuff. A lot of Apollo's wounds from the fight, they can't be easily seen.
All those body shots, eh?
There ain't gonna be no rematch. Ain't gonna be no rematch.
The wrong one.
Now that's a very interesting thing, because this was written, of course, without sequels necessarily in mind, or the even if they were ever gonna get one, but they made it very clear right at the end, this was written and recorded. Ain't gonna be no rematch. Paula does not want to fight this guy again at this moment. Doesn't want to go through this again. And Rocky says, I don't want one.
Yeah, I think you could argue that those were their true intentions at the time, and then things change. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think this was not written to have a sequel. This was not written probably with, they never knew how big this was going to get.
I think Sly knew there was, I think he had a second one in mind. I actually do think that. And I don't know quite what the timeline is, that this was could have even been a longer film. Or something to that effect. I think the rematch was always an idea that Sly had. I could be wrong.
Here it's chaos. Rocky, you went the distance. You went the 15 rounds. How do you feel?
Reminder to the audience. You went the distance. You went to the 15 rounds. How do you feel?
And Thor, what are you thinking about when that buzzer sounds for that line? What are you thinking about when the 15th round when you're coming out?
Rocky!
Rocky!
So there you go, Jurgen saying, tonight we've witnessed an exhibition of the most incredible stamina in the ring. So he's announcing this is the greatest fight that's ever happened.
They also have like one police officer trying to dissipate this massive crowd. There's like zero security, which I also noticed in the Ali fight. I'm like, people just charge in and there's no security. Also, Adrian, I get that they do it for the movie, but she's at the back of the
right
stadium or whatever Coliseum this is, saying, Rocky,
I know. Rocky,
like,
it's the cheesy, not cheesy, but it's they're both calling for each other through the chaos
know,
and the
it's
masses.
Cute.
Yeah,
it's
of course. Cute. They both can't hear each other, but they're both calling for each other. Yeah. So there's the classic hat. So that hat falling off, I don't know why it was filmed. I don't get the purpose of it, but it was on purpose. They used a fishing line on the back of Talia Shire's hat. So when she ran forward, it would be snagged off, it'd fall off like it fell off in the crowd. And then, of course, Rocky does the famous, where's your hat? I don't know. I think it's the idea is that he's just knows everything about her, thinks of her like, you lost your hat, that cute little hat, where'd it go? So even after he's been through the biggest fight in his life and moment of his life, he's concerned about Adrian's clothes, you know, like you notice that her hat's missing now.
She's all that is important to him. Plus, he just completed his personal goal. Everything's all about Adrian. He notices the little things, which women really dig.
Sure. So. Yeah.
The judges are scoring it close. Mm-hmm. Like the one judge scored it 8-7 for Creed, which means Rocky won 7 of the 15 rounds. Like, you don't really see that in the fight. You mostly see Rocky getting punched around. Like, he obviously won the last round, but
maybe there were a lot of rounds skipped that we didn't see as a viewer, but still.
Oh, that's a good point. I definitely think Apollo won, but I don't think it was extremely lopsided.
So they mentioned the rematch again. Your fans want a rematch. Yeah, I love those fans. How'd you get that information so quickly? Your fans want a rematch. Was that on Twitter or where did you read that?
Quick poll.
Your fans want a rematch. Yeah, we asked a couple of people on my way to the ring and they want you to have a rematch. Now there is the best part and that's not captioned. Did you hear what he said there?
Get out of my face.
Enough from my face today.
Yeah, get those microphones out of my, I've had enough things in my face today. I love that. It's going to go back. I want to watch that play out again. It's not captioned. I missed that. So no Mickey anywhere, which is weird. Mickey's nowhere in sight. He's probably at the side of the ring like he is in Rocky III having a heart attack. Yeah. He's having a mini heart attack at the side of the ring. But there's no Mickey anywhere next to Rocky. But Jimmy slash Mike is there next to Rocky. Watch Rocky push Mike out of the way to get the agent. Watch this. Did you catch that? Watch. No, watch Rocky push Mike. Get the F out of here. Watch.
Hey, come on. Let's go, buddy. Come on.
So Mike's next to Rocky, all excited, and then he shoves him away. Watch.
I love you.
I'm almost ready for the Rocky II soundtrack to come in. Do 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 do.
I know.
Hey guys, I'm getting texts from upstairs.
Okay, no worries.
Presence is needed.
Yeah, so, yeah. Right, get out of here, Kyle. We'll wrap it up. You go. Go.
Say see you later, guys.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye, Kyle. This was the perfect ending. No rematch. They telling each other that they love each other. I think Bert looks amazing. Paulie really cleans up well in his suit. And do you notice how he said, "Stop! You're breaking the suit, not you're tearing the suit, but right. breaking it."
Breaking the suit.
And he helped. Adrian into that, so you know, like they've made up, they're good now. It's like a perfect ending, however, but it's not cheesy.
No, it's perfect. It's a beautiful romantic closure on everything. I mean, there's arguments to be made. They should never have done the sequels. I hear those mm-hmm. arguments. I do, but I'm curious, would we be doing a podcast?
No
exactly. It would have been a Best Picture winner still. Like that still would have happened because mm-hmm. that was independent of the sequels that were written afterwards. That's why I always will love the sequels because I think it just drew attention, at least to the original. I think the sequels brought in a larger audience. They did. And I think that larger audience, me being one of them as a young kid, I saw the original. I don't know if 8-year-old Ryan would have investigated or 12-year-old Ryan would have investigated and so forth. The Rocky film, I think the sequels endear the first film more in some odd way.
That's a really good way of putting it, Ryan. Agreed. I saw the sequels before I saw the mm-hmm. original. It's an entire phenomenon. The mm-hmm. steps running, the museum, the statue, like no, we wouldn't have any of that.
No, we wouldn't have any steps. I guarantee you, yeah. if this movie stood on its own, mm-hmm. would there be a tour in Philadelphia? No. Would there be people running up the steps? I think the sequels were popular culture, iconic films yeah. that drew attention to the original film, which thus created the legacy that we have now. Because people say, oh, the film's cheap in the sequel. I would argue the sequels endear the original film more. Yeah. Well, that is the end of season one, the first film. Would like to thank everyone that joined us in the Discord throughout this season. I'd like to invite everyone to join our Discord so you can watch us live. If not, watch this on YouTube as well. If not, listen to us in your earbuds. Watch and listen to all the other shows on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network, such as Tim, who's the host of the Round 14 podcast. He's a great supporter of our show, and we appreciate his support and their great content. Reminder, join me on Patreon as I break down and watch for the first time. And it's going to be Patreon-exclusive content, Tulsa King. It'll be just Ryan, watch-along review. Lastly, join us for the next episode where we start our Rocky II journey.
I think you need to take us out this time, Ryan.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
That's it, Ryan. The episode's over.
I didn't hear no bell. I just want to-